Our talk this morning takes the form of a narrative, retelling the story of John and the baptism of Jesus. It is told from the perspective of one of John's disciples and invites us to consider our role in preparing the way for Jesus. You never quite knew where you were with John. He was intensely charismatic, drawing people to himself in their hundreds and thousands. But then he would seem determined to drive them away again with his uncompromising rhetoric. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come?" Hardly designed to give them a warm welcome. Well, not in the sense of warm and welcoming, a little more warmth of the hellfire and brimstone variety. John didn't quite fit in with any of the usual categories. He preached repentance and holy living, but not in the holier-than-thou way that the Pharisees did. He shunned normal ways of living and was clearly ascetic, but unlike the Essenes, he didn't hide himself away from the people. He felt that he had a message for everyone. He was the voice of one calling in the desert. John called us to a different way of living, but not to one that was out of touch with day-to-day reality. The repentance that he preached wasn't something confined to mere words. Yes, he called us to say that we were sorry for the wrong things we had done and to recommit ourselves to God. But he also called us to action, to live lives that showed our repentance, lives focused not on our own good, but on the good of others. Those in positions of authority were not to abuse the power they had. Those with even the most basic of possessions were to share them with those worse off than themselves. This wasn't a new message, but it was presented with a new vitality and urgency. John made it seem like a matter of life or death, not just some optional extra to the life of faith. Of course, he was best known for his promotion of baptism as a sign of repentance and new life. Again, people might have thought that he got this idea from the Essenes with their cleansing rituals. But John's baptism was quite distinct. It was a one-off indication of a rejection of an old way of life and a new commitment to follow God's ways, not a means of repeatedly cleansing oneself from the pollutions of the world. However, there was another consistent message that John proclaimed, that he was preparing the way for another. He was not the one. That individual was yet to come. But clearly John believed that he would come soon. Despite this, there were still those who came asking if he was the expected Messiah, a suggestion he would always reject in no uncertain terms. And even though he dressed up like Elijah, with his camel hair clothing, leather belt, and diet of locusts and honey, he wouldn't claim to be him or any other prophet. Not that he refrained from quoting the prophets, Malachi, Isaiah, and the rest. As they had made known the word of the Lord in their day, so John called on the people to prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. But just how was the Lord to come? In people's hearts or in some other way? As time went on, his message became more focused, identifying an individual who would be more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals are not worthy to untie, and who will baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And so our expectations were raised, and we look forward to meeting this remarkable person. And then, one day, he was there. Not that we knew, but John did. Jesus came, not in some dramatic way, not with any announcement. He came like all the others and humbly joined the queue of those waiting to be baptized. And so we treated him like them. Wait patiently in line. Don't hesitate in the water. Make room for the person behind you. Just the same as any other day with any other person. Until he got to John. Usually John would take each person by the hand, ask if they truly repented of their sins, and then, putting his other hand behind their backs, would lower them into the water. When it came to Jesus' turn, John suddenly hesitated and took a step back. Lifting his head, he looked Jesus fully in the face and said, "Do you come to me to be baptized? I need to be baptized by you." But Jesus simply said, "Let it be so for now, to fulfill all righteousness." And so John baptized Jesus, just as he had baptized all the others. As Jesus came up out of the water, the sky brightened, and a shaft of sunlight fell on him, and yet, at the same time, I heard thunder, scaring away a dove that had alighted nearby. Some said that they heard a voice from heaven speaking to Jesus, but it just sounded like thunder to me. The experience obviously meant a great deal to Jesus. He walked back out of the water with a real sense of purpose, strode through the crowds who parted for him, and walked off into the wilderness. After a while, the crowd settled down. The line became more orderly, and John went back to baptizing the repentant. Not much changed in the weeks that followed that day. The crowds came, were baptized, and went. John continued to proclaim the coming day of judgment. The Pharisees and those in authority remained aloof, seemingly unsure of what to make of his teaching. And then, one day, Jesus reappeared, coming back out of the wilderness as if he'd been there all along. As he walked by the crowd, John called out for everyone to hear, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Was John showing that Jesus was the one he'd been sent to prepare the way for? I and several of John's other disciples followed Jesus that day, sensing that that was what John expected us to do. Surely we should follow the one who was the greater. And so a new life began for us as disciples of Jesus. Not that we forgot John or his teaching, for we would never have found Jesus if John had not prepared the way for him. He went on teaching and calling people to repentance, baptizing them and directing them to Jesus until his arrest and death at the hands of Herod. Most of his remaining followers came and joined us, but others seemed never to progress beyond repentance and baptism. They never seemed to understand or accept what John had always told them, that he was just preparing the way for someone else, someone greater, Jesus. I've often wondered why Jesus went to John to be baptized, especially as I came to realize that Jesus had no need to repent for himself, no sin to turn away from, and certainly no need to turn back to God. Perhaps, as in so many other things, Jesus was simply leading by example. After all, the opening message of his public ministry was no different to John's. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. If it was good enough for Jesus and for John, then it should be good enough for us. But of course, in Jesus, we have that better baptism than John promised. For now, we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and filled with fire, so that we too can warmly welcome people into God's new kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be more like John, always preparing the way for Jesus. May it continually be our aim to promote Jesus rather than ourselves. And we pray that those meeting us would want to follow Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Amen.